Hello, it's Wayne Perry, the TV carpenter here. Can I ask you a question? Are you a DIY doer? Meaning, do you like DIY? Do you like fixing things in your home? Or does it frighten you and you'd rather somebody else did it, like your other half, or you paid somebody to come and do it? The reason I'm asking the question is, it's either one or the other. People don't realise anyone can be a DIY doer. And for me, when I say that, I don't mean the big jobs. I don't mean putting up shelves. I don't mean laying laminate flooring. For me, DIY is about having a safe house for you and your family. So when I say safe, knowing how the smoke alarm works and why does it beep, or knowing how to turn your water off if your house is flooding, or if the fuse trips and your electrics go out, knowing what all the buttons on the fuse board do. So that's a safe home. I think everyone should have that. Everyone should have a practical home, meaning everything should work as it should. So if your curtain tracks falls out the wall, you know how to put it on. Or if your toilet seat breaks, you know how to change it. But also, I think everyone should have a beautiful home, knowing what paint types to use, knowing how to upcycle some furniture. If you would like a safe, practical and beautiful home, let me teach you the DIY around it. All you need to do is join the DIY Doers Facebook group. You can find it on Facebook, or you can go to my website, thetvcarpenter.com, and I'll link you straight through to there. Let me help you create a safe, beautiful, and practical home for you and your family. On today's episode, I'll be talking about working with Alan Titchmarsh on Love Your Garden as we travel to Folkestone to create a fun sensory garden for a lovely little girl called Isla. And I'll be talking to my good friend Lynn Lamborn as she gives us all the top tips so we all can become plastic free so we can save the environment. On TV this week was an episode of Love Your Garden with Alan Titchmarsh, and we filmed this one in Folkestone. And if any of you watched it, it was a garden for a lovely family, this husband and wife who had a little girl. They had three children, actually, but one of their little children, their oldest daughter, was called Isla. And sadly, she had this rare form of epilepsy. So when she was about 1 year old, she had a major seizure, and it meant that it left her with severe brain damage. So we wanted to create this amazing sensory garden that she could use and that she could explore, but also the rest of the family could enjoy. And in pure, you know, Love Your Garden style, they always have zones and areas that normally are looked after, you know, so the presenters have an area, and that, you know, Alan was in charge of roses and the living area for the family. And Katie, for example, was in charge of this swing and den and play area for Isla. And it was a garden that was meant to be, you know, used for the whole family, and was all, Isla's in a wheelchair, so it all had to be accessible. So it was quite a tricky garden. But when you watch it, it was a real tearjerker. Obviously, I met the family and I know the show. But even when I watch it, I sit there and you know, I was almost blubbering. I was like a lump in my throat. I couldn't speak. And it was such a beautiful garden for such a gorgeous, gorgeous family. There's things that you don't always hear about. So when we were chatting to the mother, and she was really lovely, and she was quite shy, but she was just saying that, you know, her daughter, I think, is six now and is in a wheelchair. And, you know, up until 1 year old, until she had that seizure, she was totally fine. She wasn't, you know, she was a healthy little baby doing everything that a baby should be doing at one. And then you have this seizure, and then all of a sudden you've lost your child. You know, it's like you've lost what your child could have been. And so we were all just really wanted to create this amazing garden. But also there's the fear that if she has another seizure, it could make her worse, or she could even die from the next seizure. So they always feel like they're living on borrowed time. So we were determined to make this amazing garden for them. But what you didn't see in the garden as well, which was really tricky, is the garden, the before shots of the garden, one part of it, all where they had like a big garage, that was like raised full of rubble and mud and muck. And I think they removed something like six cubic
meter squares of rubble and clay. And then also where they, you know, they do a site survey when they work out where everything's going, there was a big manhole in the middle. So what was going to be Katie's area, which was going to be the big den and the living area, actually big den and swing area, ended up being really small. So that fell on me because they wanted to utilize the current swing that they had. And there was like, okay, with what materials have we got around, what can we create? So me and Katie literally were dragging this swing around. Can we cut it off? And it was a bit of a kit thing. So you were able to move things around a little bit. And we managed to create a pretty cool den. And the idea was that in her wheelchair, she could be wheeled in. And then we had the idea of having plants climbing up it. But my concern was because at the back, I don't know if you saw the show, it was like a laddered effect of flowers all up the front. I was really concerned that it didn't become a climbing frame. So at the back, we had to put vertical timbers rather than horizontal so the kids couldn't use it as a ladder at the back. And it looked really, really good. We were really, really happy with it. And it was fun. Me and Katie had laughing there. Just, you know, she was asking me if I've ever made a den when I was a kid. And of course I have. I love making dens. So yeah, it was nice to make a big den for a gorgeous child. And then I got to have fun creating a living area with Alan. So he wanted these huge oversized bookshelves that were made out of scaffolding boards. So, you know, they would weather well outside. There were these huge, big, chunky pieces of timber that we created. I don't even think it was scaffolding board, actually. No, I think it was huge joists that were massive and really, really heavy. And we created three of those and created a fire hearth as well. And we mirrored that with some bookcases in the entrance as you walked out the door. And it was really lovely. And the space was quite limited, so we were stepping over each other quite a lot. And we had resin floor, and we had a decking area, and we had paving. The problem with the resin floor is once it's laid, you can't stand on it for 12 hours. So it has to be done at a certain time. You can't get it mucky. So in these gardens, we have 5 days to build them. You know, 2 days the landscaping, and then after that the presenters come on board, and that slows everything down because the camera crews are there and you can't make noise and stuff. So you try and get everything done in the first 2 days as much as possible, but you can't do too much because they need to film you doing lots of it with the presenters, with Alan and with David and with Katie and Francis. But it was a really, really lovely show to do, really lovely episode, and I was really pleased that the family got the garden that they deserved. As always, I want to give a huge shout out to my sponsors, Thorndown Paint. And without them, I wouldn't be able to do this podcast. They've kindly agreed to sponsor this podcast. And what I love about them is they're a family-run business. It's run by Caroline and Ben. And I've met both of them working on the Alan Titchmarsh Love Your Garden show. I first met Ben about 2 years ago when he supplied all the paint for one of the gardens there. And he was there painting away. And I didn't actually realize he was the owner of the company. He was just very passionate about this paint and he was talking me through it all. And what I loved about this paint is it can be used on lots of different materials. It's primarily a wood paint, so it can be used inside and outside on wood. But also it can be used on metal, on terracotta. You know, it can be used on plastics, on PVC. But also, because it's a water-based paint, this paint can also then be thinned down. So you can thin it down and you can create a stain with it. And you can create as many colours as you like with it. If any of you watched last week's episode of Love Your Garden, you'll have seen Caroline, Ben's wife, was also a co-owner of Thorndown Paint. She was there helping us paint all the wooden structures that we had there. And she did get into the back of the shop pulling on a funny face at Alan as he was being made fun of about a Dalek that he was creating out of topiary. But in all seriousness, while I was there chatting with her, she was telling me again about the joys of working with peelable glass paint. I've mentioned before that I've used this when working with my daughter. We were having some fun in the garden and we were painting a huge mirror and we created some art on there. And this peelable paint is brilliant. It's very much aimed for children. Some of the paints are called things like Goblin Green or Mermaid Blue or Ogre Orange. They're really strong and vibrant. And we had fun creating some patterns and flowers. But what's great is if you make a mistake, you literally let it dry, and then you, if you rub it with your finger, it peels off a bit like a face mask, and it just peeled off. My daughter had fun with that, and then we started again. They have 24 opaque colours, and they have 14 translucent colours. So you can either create things like stained glass effects, like we did with my daughter, or you could block out whole windows in colour. So if you've got a greenhouse or a conservatory that, you know, it gets really hot, and you just want to stop the glare of the sun, you can use this paint to literally roller it on and block out the sun. And then once you're bored with it, again, you can just peel it all off. The reason why I'm passionate about Thorn Down Paint and why I'm so pleased that they're my sponsor for the podcast is because of their eco credentials. They really do try to be as kind to the environment as possible. So if you are needing to buy a paint for your garden, for any woodwork, or for, like I say, for any metals or any terracotta pots, or even the peelable glass paint, if you want to get a product that's as healthy to the environment as possible, then Thorn Down is the one to try. And again, their peelable glass paint is even made from 100% recycled plastic resin. So if you'd like to get some more information about Thorn Down Paint, check out their colour charts and all the information from them on thorndown.co.uk. And you can get a 15% discount on any online purchases. And all you have to do is put in the discount code, the TV Carpenter. I'm super excited that you guys get to hear this next interview. It's with my dear friend Lynn Lamborn. Now, I first met Lynn when we worked together on GIDC, which is the Great Interior Design Challenge. She was a contestant on that show, on the first series. And we kept in touch. We've worked together quite a few times. We've done various trade shows like Grand Design Live together. We built sets for that. And then last year we partnered up and we worked on the Ideal Home Show and we co-designed and built a show garden there. I knew when I was doing this podcast that I would get her involved. She's done loads of different things. She's created a company called Warriors in Waste, where she teaches kids to upcycle. She's an Annie Sloan paint ambassador, so she teaches people how to use chalk paints. But what I really wanted to pick her brains about was the whole idea about single-use plastics, how to banish it, and how to like try and live more sustainable, really. And she does main talks on the Ideal Home Show about this subject. So when I knew, like I said, I was creating this podcast, that she was always going to be one of my guests on it. So I hope you enjoy this. And I recorded this whilst we were in her beautiful house. And I hope you enjoy all the information that she shares on how to save the planet. Lynn Lamborn.
Hello.
Thank you for agreeing to be on my podcast.
No problem at all. Delighted to. Talk to you.
When I decided to do this podcast, you were the first person that... Well, actually, I was with you when I decided to do it because we were doing the Ideal Home Show.
Yeah.
We were doing the garden. And I thought, I'm going to have her on the podcast. Mainly because I thought, actually, I can speak to you about so many different things. We've known each other for so long now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different things you do. And we'll come to that throughout the podcast. But we first met when we did the Great Interior Design Challenge together. How many years ago?
Five. It was the first series, wasn't it? It was one of the first episodes of the first series.
Yeah.
So time has been
ticking. It has. And so was your background in interior design then?
Nope. Never done anything interior design. So in fact, that was one of the sort of the qualifications for getting onto the show. It's completely amateur. No, that was my first disaster in interior design.
Oh, you went out as well.
I went out. Yeah, the homeowner absolutely hated me.
But to her credit, she's actually an amazing interior design. But you had the homeowner from hell, who were the only people we never showed their response to it because he stormed off.
Yeah. He wouldn't come back and do the reveal with me and left me sort of, in fact, I think they locked me in one of those pods where we hide the furniture, and then he wasn't invited to the wrap party or anything, was he?
So she went out to work. But then subsequently we met along the way. You worked with Sophie Robinson at the Ideal Home Show. You then rang me and asked me to work with you. Was it Grand Design Live?
Grand Design's Live, yeah. So it's a competition, wasn't it, to design a room set.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, God, I'm going to need someone reliable here who can help me build. and I decided to do, sort of set myself up massively there, where everything was from a skip or from recycled materials or upcycled. So I had to kind of go out and find it before I could come up with the design and upcycle it and get it there. And it was like suddenly halfway through, I thought, no wonder nobody normally does this, but actually it won.
It worked.
And we did it so fast.
There were six builds, weren't there? And we... And we had like a 2-day build. I think by end of day one, beginning of day two, we were sat in cups of coffee on
the set. We were eating sandwiches and they were all rushing around.
Yeah, and it looked amazing. Mm-hmm. There's lots of pictures on your Instagram about it. And her award is actually in the downstairs loo. And I've just got a picture of it.
Yeah, my award shelf.
Your award shelf. And then recently, because of that collaboration, I think, we realised we worked really well together.
Yeah.
And you got the gig to create show gardens at this year's Ideal Home Show in London. And then you invited me along to build, and we ended up co-designing and building a garden there.
Yeah, again, based on that sustainability thing.
And that's this thing. So sustainability is really trendy at the moment.
Yeah.
But for the last 5-6 years that I've known you, it's been your thing anyway. It's kind of been...
Yeah, even on the Great Interior Design Challenge, that was my thing. I straight away went in and everything was upcycled and repainted, and I spent very little. I remember everybody else sort of going, oh my God, the budget's so low, and me thinking, actually, I mean, if you're going to have a charity shop, it's quite a lot. What's wrong with you? But yeah, that has always been my thing, and I'm glad it's now gathering momentum. That's great. It feels like everybody else is, you know, you do that thing like, everyone's copying me. They're not. It's great. You've got to be relaxed about it, because actually we're saving the world. The more people who think like this, that's what I've been banging on about. That's what I want, is for people to think more like me. So actually it's great.
It's great. And I've realised working in the interior design world, or even the gardening world, everyone has, you've got to have an angle. You've got to have your USB kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And your unique selling point has always been this sustainability, recycled. And when we got the gig for the Ideal Home Show, your brief was to create a beautiful garden. And then it was you who said, I'll do it as long as I can do the sustainability.
Yeah.
And then your brief to me was, I want it to be sustainable, but I don't want it to look now. I want it to look modern. I don't want it to look like we've upcycled a shitty thing in the corner.
No.
And that was what was brilliant, because then our challenge was to find, and everyone who looked at the garden didn't know, half of them didn't know it was all recycled and sustainable. Like the decking was recycled plastics.
Yeah.
We had rope made from bottle tops. We had
chairs made from milk cartons in the States.
Yeah, the American style chairs. They're beautiful. Yeah. And everyone was like, where can we buy those? Mm-hmm. Like, do you know they're white? And that's what I love about you, in the fact that, you know, there's a lot of people who do the upcycle thing and it is just palettes. And, you know, you like a palette.
I love a palette.
But it's not for me. It's not my thing.
And it's not what is going to... My thing's always been, I want it to look high end. Mm-hmm. I want people to stop and think. Because, you know, even though you buy from a charity shop, you don't necessarily want your home to look like that. So it's just about having a good eye and picking the right things and combining them. They're not all vintage pieces in my house. They're not all from charity shop. But then combining it with perhaps something which is made from recycled plastics and a little bit more modern. Or the occasional new buy. Of course, everybody does that. You know, I'm a fan of IKEA as much as anybody else. But it's just how you combine it together. Mm-hmm. And by finding special pieces and making it look great. That's what I'm about.
So when we're at the Ideal Home Show, we're lucky enough, we do the garden. But also, with the DIY Doers, we do talks on their main stage.
Yeah.
And yourself, you know, you're also an ambassador for Annie Sloan, so you work with Ella Sloan Pace, so you're doing an Annie Sloan workshop.
Yeah.
But then you do a sustainable workshop. And I remember the DIY Doers were on just after you.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting backstage, watching your slides and listening to all the products and things that are sustainable that can be used in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to talk mainly about with you today on the podcast. Only because I think, knowing you and working with you, you just filter into my psyche.
Are you trying to say in a nice way I'm a real nag?
Yeah. So already you've got me to change my toilet roll. I met you today. We've been in a craft fair today, and I made sure I had my water bottle and
cup.
I had my usable coffee cup. And I even ran back in the house to go get it.
And I bought one for you anyway, just in case.
But I remember at the Ideal Home Show, I forgot to bring my water bottle, and the look of disgust, and I really felt like it upset you. So I want to chat to you today, and to give people insight of where they can buy things and what the little things we can do in our house that can help the environment and show people how easy it is.
Absolutely.
Okay, so where would you start?
I'd probably first start by saying, we're about to leap into talking about shopping, but the first thing you can probably do is think twice before you shop. It's, do you need it? Sustainability, you know, at the moment there are lots of shops popping up and everything saying we're sustainable. The most sustainable thing you can do is not buy it in the first place. So really question yourself before you go shopping. Do I need it? Could I, you know, someone says, let's store all our cereals in jam jar, in storage jars, but could I use a jam jar? Could I use something that I've got already? So that's my first point, mm-hmm. is really think carefully before, you know, rushing off and buying. And then secondly, if you can buy locally, always go for local. It's difficult at the moment because lots of these sustainable products aren't in our shops locally, but always try and do that if you can. And then look for things that are made ethically, made sustainably, recycled materials, mm-hmm. things like that. And then, you know, buy bamboo toothbrushes, nose drawers, all of these. Everybody knows about them. It's just putting it into action and thinking twice, thinking a bit more carefully. Mm-hmm. Your weekly shop, you know, there's alternative tote bags you can take. Nobody ever gets a plastic bag anymore now. It's just so
early 90s. Every time I do, I think of you.
Yeah, you know, water bottles. Yeah. Everybody knows all this stuff. This is so well documented. But it's about changing a habit, and mm-hmm. it's about doing it two or three times that becomes second nature, like you running back into the house to get your cup, because that's just something now that you do.
Yeah.
And I want people to feel bad, actually. I want people to feel, oh my God, that's embarrassing. I'm walking around with a plastic water bottle. The hell is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Because it, to me, it's just so uncool.
Yeah.
It's really cool
and
to
care. And I think that really has become that. And I don't think it's just my circle of Instagram friends or my circle of Facebook friends. I see it across the board now. I think mm-hmm. people are realising carrying, you know, a plastic water bottle isn't great, or you know, having the carrier bag. I always remember we've worked at the Outer Home Show a few times now, and we were there, and you used to kick off about the plastic stuff going mm-hmm. on at the Idle Home Show.
Yeah.
And this year it's changed. They started to change it.
Yeah, they've been, I think it's taken me 3 or 4 years of non-stop moaning, and they're just eye-rolling at me. But this year we are, the whole show is much more sustainable. They're really asking every single person who books at the show to think about their sustainability, think about what they're bringing into the site. And also I'm working with them to showcase some sustainable brands. So there's going to be a sustainability section where I'm going to try and showcase as many of the brands I work with and some of the charities that I work with, so that we've got a little elements that people can come down and get a snippet of, you know, a snippet of information, if you like, and see some of these amazing brands. There just doesn't seem to be a showcase venue at the moment for them, mm-hmm. and often they're very small, and it's hard to get out there because they haven't got money to do that. Mm-hmm. They're small startups, and if I can support them, then that's exactly what I want to do, really. You know, I'm constantly being sent brands or meet brands in my work, and I just want to be able to pass that on in a simplistic form to people and just say, look, come to the Idle Home Show, these guys are here, or, you know, on my website they're there, or, and I've got this new Amazon marketplace as well. So that's brilliant that the Idle Home Show are on board this year.
So you said then about your website. So what is your website?
Well, I've got two, rather complicatedly. So I've got Love Nelly Designs, which is my interior design and my sustainability side of things. But then I've also got something which is sort of a little sideline passion, which is worriesonwaste.co.uk. Which,
you say sideline and passion, but that's, if I'm being honest, I know you more for that.
Yeah.
Than
the, it's taken over my life. I started it as something, I taught kids to upcycle, and that meant that we were turning trash to treasure. And then I thought this was a perfect opportunity to teach them a little bit about things that I'm passionate about, to do with the plastics, to do with living more sustainably. So we started talking about that. And then I thought, well, I'll make a movie and I'll rope in some help.
What's the movie called? You can get
What Have You Done Today to Save the World? Mm-hmm. And it's actually on my website. You can click from the website through.
I made it
so that children could really understand it. And there's some hard-hitting things in it. There's the turtle with the straw up the nose. There's the whale that died. And actually, everybody I contacted was so brilliant and just said, yeah, use our footage. Use this. Don't worry. If it's to do with plastic. And they were great. Uh-huh. And then I got a lovely local film company who put it all together and professionally did it for me, Living Room Films in Henley. And and so that's on the website as well. And I started doing that, and it gathered momentum. And then the Idle Home Show, actually, the first people, they said, Lynn, could we show your movie? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my goodness, yeah. And for me, that was, there's some very powerful music at the beginning of it. And I remember being in the Idle Home Show in Olympia, which is huge. And just somebody to hit play on the button during one of the sort of run throughs of it. And this music came on in this huge venue. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm really doing something now. I'm really making people change. And then it was Helen Shepherd, who's one of the compares who runs, who came over to me after she'd watched it, and she had tears in her eyes. And she said, Lynn, I'm never using a straw again. And I thought, oh my God, people are starting to listen.
Yeah.
And it's gathered momentum from there. And it's just been fantastic.
And that never using straw, like at the moment, we were talking earlier today, like I said, we went out today, and we were saying how at the time when you did it 2-3 years ago, you were the person who was telling me, why are you using straw? We don't need straws. Or if we were out somewhere, we'd go for a meeting at, I don't know, a shop somewhere, and they'd serve us a straw, and you're like, can I speak to your manager, please?
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, if it's a big chain, you'd hashtag their branding.
Yeah.
And slowly and surely, you've got people to really read. The shops are, will they email you back and go, you know.
Hotel chains. I mean, the Audio Home Show, they booked us in the Hilton, and I've kept taking photos of all the products in the shower. And now, not just because of me, but I'm sure, you know, all of us together are making a change. But things like that. And I think as a consumer, we should be the people who are saying, hang on a second, I don't want this. What are you going to do to make this change? Why are you still serving these things? And the more people who call them to question, the quicker they're going to make the change and realise that it's not what we want. You know, the power is with us, isn't it? The power is with where we place our pound, where we choose to go. And we have the absolute right to demand these things for the world, for our future, for the kids' future, for everything.
What I loved as well is I went to an event yesterday where it displays the up-and-coming trends, whether it be cards, products, homeware, wallpaper. I came across this really lovely company called Lane 44, and they've only got one brand, and it's a razor. It's a disposable razor, because the idea of disposable, you know, plastic razors, you can't recycle them. They, you know, single-use plastic, the packaging that's included in them, all of that. But in her talk to me, the first thing she said, she says, you know, disposable razors are becoming the new plastic straw issue.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, people are using that as a marketing tool now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, straws, actually, it's strange because straws, when we looked at the whole global sort of single-use plastic problem, straws were the smallest thing, really the smallest problem. But they represented something so big. And it was, I think it because children had drinks with straws in, that it became such a focal point. I mean, really, by limiting the straws, we've done very little in the plastic pollution situation. But it's just become a visual, and it's become something that everybody's clung on to as the start of a movement, as the start of something to talk about, and something that resonated with the children. So it's become our symbol of change, if you like. I mean, the straws now are paper. We really don't have a straw issue. We need to stop talking about the straws. But it has started something. Yeah. And if forever, you know, we should really be grateful for the straws, because that's made us all think, you know, and now we're moving on to other things. We've got nappies. You know, nappies aren't plastic, but they contain plastic, and they are the huge, big problem. And tampons and sanitary wear and things that people don't really like to talk about, but we've got to face these facts now, and we've got to start changing and talking about them. Razors are a huge issue. These are things we use every day, toothbrushes, you know, and the straw has kick-started us all. It's given us a big kick up the backside. And that poor turtle has changed the world. I mean, we all thank David Attenborough, but who was that turtle?
Going back to shopping side of things. So I like, again, the razors, I've changed my razor. That, you know, the company Lane 44, and I've mentioned those again, because not only are they, you know, it's about using a single razor, it's a metal razor, they give 5% of their profits to men's mental health.
Nice.
Which was a nice time as well. And so they've got quite a few things going on. Things, what else I love, I've changed my toilet roll to, is it Give a Crap?
Yeah.
Is it called?
Who Gives a Crap?
Who Gives a Crap?
Yeah.
And they're brilliant. So we were all, our family as a whole were using so much toilet roll, but instantly we buy it all comes, every part of the packaging is recyclable, and they give percentage of their profits as well to making toilets in third world countries.
Yeah.
Things like that, making those kind of changes, and they used to cost a fortune, but actually I find I'm using less. It's actually working, like, you know, the razor situation, I haven't changed my razor in over a year. The blades are cheaper, so I'm saving money.
Yeah.
The toilets and papers. So.
It's like a block shampoo. A block shampoo lasts for forever versus having to buy a plastic container, you know, with your shampoo in for normal. So these swaps are great.
Okay, so those kind of shampoo. My wife is a Boots fanatic. Right, so she
a booze?
Boots.
Oh, Boots. Oh, I was going to say, well, that's a whole other podcast.
That's getting back on again. She loves her toiletries. So if we ever go shopping, I need to pop into Boots. I'm like, do you know what? I'm just going to go off for a bit.
Yeah.
How can I sell my wife the block shampoo? Because you must use it then. So what? Give me the sales spiel, why she should use that kind of stuff, because I think that must be quite hard for a lot.
Firstly, it's cutting down on plastic. That's the most important thing. Secondly, what you're putting in your head normally that comes from a plastic bottle is full of chemicals. If you ever read the side of shampoo, and you're putting that directly onto your head every day, I'm not sure that's a good idea. If you look at what's in the block shampoos, especially if you get them from brands like Lush, there's Candy, which are on my website, who are a lovely brand who started off in one of the markets in London. Organic. You're putting something on that's organic. They last for forever. You know, that absolutely brilliant. You can take them when you go, you know, on holiday and you're packing your wash bag and you're worried about leaking from. I just have a little old plastic container and I've popped them in there. You take them, they take up no space whatsoever. So they're good for you.
Yeah.
And it does take a while. I'm not going to lie. The first couple of times you wash your hair, it's just your hair getting used to it. And then something just happens and your hair's used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we are all, you know, we're overwashing with all these chemicals and goodness knows.
Yeah, I've had all the microbeads and all of that. That's all gone.
Yeah.
So you talked about your website because I think what we realise as well, all this stuff is out there now. It's available. But I know you used to get hounded on your Instagram or how can, where can we find this, where can we do that? So you've created an Amazon shop and a website. So tell me, you know.
Well, the website Worries and Waste is very much an information site. So it sort of talks about why I do it. And then there's some information on how your school can go plastic free. It's got the movie and it's got an overriding kind of place where you can go and buy things. But then I was just, every time I talk on social media, I'm constantly asked, and I try to get that to everybody because there's an interest out there. And obviously I'm talking about it and I ignore them. That's defeating the object.
Yeah.
But what's been made much easier by for me is Amazon have set up this thing where I can now list everything that I use onto one of their Worries on Waste shops and people can go there. So now, and I don't just list anything. It is the brands that I work with. It's the things that I use or the things that I'm talking about on social media so that people therefore can just click in straight away and there it is. Something sustainable, a brand that cares, a brand that's made from a recycled product, or there's a whole section on upcycled stuff as well. So it might be a varnish that I use one day that I'm using or a particular paintbrush that I use. So it is all there just to make it easier for people because I think we're all time poor. And somebody says, oh, go on to Block Shampoos. And you're, oh, well, where does it? Well, there's a certain place on the high street like Lush. But if you're not in the high street or whatever. And Amazon's brilliant. I would always say shop local if you can. But most of us, if we're honest, are using Amazon on an incredibly regular basis. So tag that thing that you need, that sustainable product, onto whatever else you're ordering. And try and cut it down into one order so it gets delivered at the same time and do it that way.
And what's that? What's your Amazon website?
It's just under Lynn Lamborn Worries and Waste. So, and it will actually, in the next few days, we're going to put it in my bio on my Instagram account. So you'll be able to click in and shop till you drop.
Well, what I'll do as well, in the notes of this podcast, I'll put all the details on there as well.
Brilliant.
So I can go through there.
Yeah.
Normally at the end of my podcast, I always ask if it's an interior designer to describe their, you know, their favourite room, or if it's gardener, their favourite garden. And but my daughter came home from school the other day, and she's only just started secondary school, and she told me something. She was talking about, they were describing the difference between a utopian society and a dystopian society. And you know,
she's brainy.
I know.
I'm seeing her go.
So dystopia is what we're currently living in now within the plastic world.
Right.
Utopian is in an idealistic world.
Yeah.
So I want you to tell me in an idealist, because that's, and actually what I love, with the reason I said as well, what I love this, I said to her, what's yours? She went, well, that there's no plastics. And she actually used the word plastic. And I was like, okay, so if that's the generalized form, give me a little bit more in depth. In an ideal world, utopian society, what, you know, in, let's say, 5 years' time from now, everything's perfect. What will have changed for you in an ideal world?
I think the key thing is not making it in the first place. We talk about recycling, but that still requires a lot of energy and all of that. I think we've got to find alternative ways of packaging things or not packaging things. Buying, you know, like the lovely shop in Waitrose where it unpackaged everything. Buying, going back to buy that way. And then when we do have to package something, I think we need to look at a really good labelling system. So the consumer is given the choice that that package is going to be recycled and put back into the system. This package is not and is heading to landfill. So which cereal box are you going to buy? So which packet of crisps are you going to buy? And I think it needs to be unanimous across the country, across the globe, if we can.
Yeah.
If anyone got Donald Trump's number or anybody like that, can give him a quick call, see if he's on board. I doubt it. And then everybody knows. And I think all companies should be accountable to that. And then the recycling needs to follow back from that. So across counties, we need to have the same recycling program. It is so complicated, so difficult. And in fact, on Worries and Waste, what's one button I've popped in. So on one of the pages, you can go in and type in your postcode and it will take you straight through to your local authority and their recycling rules and what you bin, what you don't.
Amazing.
So that people can just have a read.
Because it changes wherever you are.
Changes, you know, very regularly, even when you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, some places you've got to wash your white plastics and you can't combine them with your blacks. Mm. Other places you can. And I think it's a bit like the highway code. Everybody should be reading this and be completely up to date on it. It's rules to live by. And I really hope that's what I think. We need more clarity on the whole situation. It's really, really murky. Mm. It's as if nobody wants to take control of it because the problem is just so big. Nobody really wants to have to put their hands up and say, okay, it's time to do this now.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
I think you're on it. So give me your website again.
So Worries on Waste is www.worriesonwaste.co.uk.
Yeah.
And the interior design one is lovelady.co.uk.
And they can find you on Instagram?
Instagram, I'm there pretty much every 5 minutes.
Lynn Lamborn,
chatting away, interior design, sustainability.
Shopping.
What I've had for breakfast, what I'm wearing, where I am, all those.
Oh, Lynn, it's been an absolute pleasure. And again, I'm sure I'll have you on again because we'll be talking about all the other amazing things.
Absolutely. I'm working together again and doing more adventures.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There we are. We've come to the end of episode 9 of The TV Carpenter. I hope you enjoyed hearing about how we created a lovely sensory garden for Isla on Love Your Garden and my interview with Lynn Lamborn. It's amazing, isn't it, what one person can do? And like I said, I've known her for about 5-6 years, and seeing what she's done with Worries and Waste with the children, and just by getting children involved, like she said, the straw, it doesn't make a huge difference. But if you think about it, we've empowered children to think about the environment. You know, they're doing marches every Friday, you know, about climate change. They're actually making us think by just tapping into them. And she's seen that with her Worries and Waste. And again, if you want to contact her, I'll put all her social media details in the notes to the podcast. But also you can go on her Amazon account and check out all the products that she's tried and tested. And some of them are amazing. I remember seeing, she has a whole table full when she does her talks at the Idle Home Show. And she talks about all the amazing products that you can use that can help relieve the single-use plastics that we seem to be consuming constantly. A huge thank you as well to my sponsor Thorndown, who also are trying to help the environment with their eco paint. And remember, you can get 15% discount by going onto thorndown.co.uk and putting in the code TVCarpenter. And just before I go, I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody for listening. The response to this podcast has been absolutely amazing. We're only on episode 9 and already the numbers of people who are contacting me and saying hello and saying how much they enjoy the podcast is overwhelming. If you like this podcast, please don't forget to like and subscribe. Tell other people about it so they can enjoy it too. And if you want to contact me, leave me a message. I am on Instagram or Twitter. It's Wayne Perry. I'm there holding a drill, wearing an orange t-shirt, so you can't miss me. And once again, all I have to do is say thank you for listening to The TV Carpenter.